And I climbed up to the top of there, and I was just watching the scene. It was about 1:30 that time in the afternoon. And I took some pictures with a 2x zoom lens, which were all pathetic, that I scanned to my hard drive. Later, I just saw like two little puffs of smoke. But the one thing that stood out in my mind after all this time, I was just thinking back to it on the last run of the PSYOP going into how they make everybody crazy before, is outside of the skies, as Marcus said, being clear as a bell, what I noticed, there wasn't one, because we have a, it's a military flight, not one plane flew through, not one military helicopter. The whole skies were vacant for hours afterwards. So, face it, we just had what they said were two airstrikes in New York on the two alleged airstrikes on the two big towers. But there's no military presence, just quiet. Why would that be? So what would you think about that for a sane person? And I brought this up to other people, not getting to more delicate issues with the media fakery and stuff. And it means nothing to them. What would that mean to a sane, rational person that being with all his military bases and everything else and flight patterns around the area that I always go over?
Yeah.
On that day, we had two airstrikes, and for hours sitting up there just watching, staring, thinking, you know, buying into it. No presence, no flights. Quiet. Think about that.
Yeah, that was the big thing that stood out to me, I remember, was that. It was like, because I remember thinking, because I was in the Navy for 6 years, and I was on an aircraft carrier, and I was attached to a fighter squadron, and it's, there would be, on occasion, I'd have to go to the squadron offices, or whatever you want to call it. So they'd have these pilots that are there continually, and they do this in shifts. And the pilots are suited up, and they're ready to go. And they call these drills periodically. And when they call these drills, and I guess the different squadrons will take turns, but they're up on the flight deck, they get into the jet, and they take off, and from what I understand, they can get up there, they could get airborne in like under 5 minutes. It's part of the defensive perimeter of the carrier, because you have like a certain mile radius. If anything reaches that however a mile radius around the ship is a defensive perimeter. Like if anything breaches that and it's not identified or whatever, they get jets in the air to go to identify. Okay, is this something that's could be potentially a threat to the carrier? And then, like, you know, they have another protocol for if anything kind of gets beyond that. If anything gets beyond the jets, then they have like these phalanx guns, which like basically put out like a wall of lead to stop, you know, a missile or whatever is incoming. But those protocols and stuff are in place like at all these military bases around the country, and especially in the Pentagon or around the Pentagon or around the White House and around those sensitive areas and all that, certainly. So, you know, having that knowledge, knowing that, and then like listening to those news reports, and then like no mention being made of any jets in the air, military jets. I kept thinking, okay, where are the jets? Why aren't they intercepting these planes? That they should be doing that. I mean, that's obvious. And yeah, no jets.
And no patrol afterwards, you know, a few hours after, like I said, I was looking at, and there was no military patrol. And there's a lot of stuff in the area here, just like you. One would have to come to the obvious conclusion that this was supposed to happen. And all that other crap with the tarps, you know, it's is when I first started reading this type of thought process between 204 and 5, you know, it's Tarpley's synthetic terror and his madness, and a little bit of the David Ray Griffin, but there's nobody, it was nothing. So that was the spooky, that was a very spooky time for me. Until I started to figure out it's 2004, you had to look at the complete ugly racist nature that they drew out of people. Like when we went to Willowbrook Mall in the area, they had a small Islamic Muslim presence. These people always keep to themselves, you know, the women with the burqas and stuff. And you were expecting them to have bombs underneath their burqas, so that was pretty ugly. And then you're still here to this very time. The way people still talk about, you know, the Muslims or Islam, it's like, it's just so creepy that even people who you know are really good Christian type people who are, you know, would give you the shirt off their back, and they're still echoing the propaganda and the hate towards these people who didn't do a fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part that still to this day makes me sad, and you see it within some of your aunts and stuff talking about their, they get an email, you need to be afraid just like the Judge Jeanine, because there's Islamics in Obama's cabinet, and we're going to have Sharia law, and before you know it, the slippery slope fallacy, that all this stuff's going to happen. And it is pretty ugly. It's still creepy. But that's why, excuse me, why I still keep up with all this stuff. It's pretty upsetting. And I still don't see people waking up, because when you talk to them, they're still dumb as a freaking rock. And I was at the health food store the other day talking to a lady who owns the place, above average intelligence from the hippie crowd, who was the 60s, new age-ish. You know, she's about 60 years old now. She didn't even know what a fucking green screen was, Chris. Can you imagine
that?
Because I was trying to explain to her that, because they were talking about the news, and I was trying to, like, break it to, like, don't be captivated by the news because this shit ain't real. So I was going to, you know, I wanted them to look at the nicer things with the Stargate Studios and their fine work on YouTube, and how they do that with every single program that's done on television is almost 100% green screen. They didn't know what green screen was. Can you believe that?
People are just kind of like, I mean, we can take a lot for granted, I guess, like as far as like, but then, yeah, there's people that are just so, just not aware of basically anything. Like they take everything on face value, and if it comes out in an official channel, then it's like, it's as if, it's just like I say this, I try to repeat it as often as possible. Like anybody who believes in this concept called government, like they believe the government and they believe that they have legitimate authority over them, they are just like a Jehovah's Witness, a Scientologist, or anything like that. They have this, it's just a belief system. And of course, you know, people are born and raised, you know, to believe this stuff. But, I mean, it is like questioning. It's like any good cultist, you know, that's in a cult. Like you start talking about, you know, Rashish Bagrabi or whatever, the cult leader. You start talking bad about him, or you get the cult members really upset at you. I mean, they're going to get really mad. It's like that's the same way. People have to understand when you're talking to the average person, you're talking to a cult member. They're a government, for lack of a better word, or an establishmentarian, I guess would be maybe a better word, an establishmentarian cultist.
I think
what the average person is.
Most people,
the majority of people are cult members. in one station or another, I mean, to one degree or another, the overwhelming majority of people that you're going to speak to out on the street, they believe in the concept of money, of course, because that's, you know, they're centering their life around the pursuit of it, and they never acknowledge that it's not even a real thing. It's just a belief system. And the idea of the government, and that they have, that this is some real thing and that has real legitimate authority to, you know, tell you what to do and to tell you where, you know, that if you're to show up in court, you better by gum do it because they're the government. It's a cult. It's a belief system. It's not based on anything that's real. I mean, talked about this before over and over. It's how, what is this thing called the Constitution? Well, it's just a piece of paper. And it's like, why do people believe in it? Well, they've been conditioned to believe in it through just, you know, psychic driving, repetition to their educational system, and basically brainwashed into believing it. Because when you break it down to its essence, I mean, that's what it is. Because you can't find anything other than people who identify themselves as government say so. They say so. I mean, that's really what it amounts. That's when you go to court, you want to ask them, like, what, you know, for why does this thing called the Constitution apply to me? Like, what evidence do you have that this thing even applies to me other than your say-so? And when it comes down to it, they don't have anything other than their word, and then the fact that there's other cult members that will shoot you and put you in a cage if you don't go along with it. But, yeah, the majority of people believe in this cult. And so when you go telling them about green screen and all that stuff, it's like, yeah, you're directly attacking their religious belief. And then you're going to get the same response as if you attack any other religious belief, a Mormon, anybody's religious belief. But the funny thing about it is, like, they have never been presented with that concept at all, that maybe, you know, that this is like just a belief system based on no evidence at all. But people won't get that. It's hard. That's a hard thing to get people to even entertain that idea. But that's the truth. You're dealing with a cult member.
Yeah, I always knew, even back in the 70s when I wasn't of age yet, and into the 80s when I came of age, I never felt that anything.
People
pay my taxes, and if you own something and you don't pay your taxes, they're going to let you get away with it, so to speak, but then they're going to lock you up and stick you in the cage for a couple of years, like Lark and Rose, if that's all true and everything. I used to listen many years ago. I still listen once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And that's just it. I mean, what gives these people this authority? And I love this concept of, if you had a couple of real well-meaning neighbors who had some great ideas for the neighborhood but said they were going to take 20% of my paycheck in order to accomplish these goals, and it's just three people, you know, my neighbors. Well, it seemed they were fucking crazy, you would think. But what gives the government, whether it's my town government, who if I don't pay, got a paid off house, if I don't pay my property tax, which is expensive in this state for a crap little house, they're going to auction my house off.
Yeah.
And what the hell gives them the right, you know?
They don't have nothing that it authorizes for them to do that other than their say-so and their appeal to this thing called law, which they don't follow themselves. It's totally inconsistent on every angle that you approach it at. There's no consistency. There's no follow-through. There's no consistent logic on any of this stuff. It's selectively applied and enforced. It's just, and then, like, on the face of it, if you think about it, it's illegitimate and wrong, because anybody that operated the same way that they operate would be singled out as a criminal, which you would be rightfully so, but they can operate on it because they identify themselves as this abstract concept called government that everybody, for the most part, believes in. They believe in it, even religious people. Like, if you were to like do a comparison, like, how strong is their belief in their particular version of their religion? And I bet you that it is not near as strong as their particular belief in this concept called government. Because I bet you that you could prove that if you were going to do like a study or something like that, that they believe more strongly in the government and the government's right to come in and you know, like you said, take your house forcibly and auction it off for taxes. And, you got the overwhelming 99.999% of all the people in the country sitting on a jury would totally convict you and have your house, you know, snatched out from under you because they're cultists and they're so profoundly brainwashed that they wouldn't think twice about it. And, that you got to understand that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with people that are under some very persuasive and potent, mind control, phony belief system that they've never have even had any kind of inclination whatsoever of trying to get themselves out from under that phony baloney concept. And they ain't about to now. And you ain't going to, it's like a lot of people that ain't even going to consider that their so-called government is lying to them on many different levels to keep them in line.
And now they're making all this stuff up, and all they do is scare the shit out of you. And it's just like the government, the belief in government, stronger than the belief in God. They believe that these people on the media, there is some lying going on, but if you have the correct channel on, you always get the truth. That's their concept, and they can't get the concept where this shit is put in the can ahead of time, scripted, there is no reporting. They couldn't even wrap their head around it. They're being fucked with. You're being fucked with on a daily basis. Now, you aren't. You don't watch TV, and I for weeks on end now, I can't even look at it. It makes me crazy. Because I started shouting obscenities at it. But these people are still convinced that these folks, these presenters that they've known for years, they can't lie to you. And there's no possibility, because I've told you this story before where my dad and his sisters came up, and we were at a restaurant, and I was trying to explain some of the concepts that you bring up on this call. And they started, like, throwing holy water on me. Literally, these are Catholics. Strange, his sisters, but that you're crazy. These people wouldn't lie to you. They can't lie to you. Like, if it's against the law, but what the hell is law? So that's right. Their other belief. It's completely insane. And I don't know, I'm maybe a defeatist. I guess you can be positive, but I'm not seeing that when people say that folks are waking up. I'm truly not seeing it, because I even speak to younger people. And with the beheading thing, when it was the saw off on the second one, I said to a young man who's like, whoa, who worked at the shop, right, who runs the desk there, he's going through college, and I tried to explain why the video was fake, and it just blew him away because someone else there had showed him all the stuff about how horrible the ISIS and the Islamists are and how they want to get us, put out obviously by the State Department. But my comment being that, how do you know it's fake? Well, outside of it looking like professional wrestling, like the guy with the rubber knife was standing over the Sotloff kneeling down, or the guy before him in the previous video. Mm-hmm. The thing is, I said, I played hockey. Well, what the hell does that mean? Well, I said, well, once in a blue moon, when a guy rips his leg around, there's a collision. A guy will get hit in and around the broad artery or jugular area vein with the back of the skate. Now, if you haven't seen it in person, you'll have seen it in, like, some of the videos that will pop up once in a while. And I'm telling you, when you hit that area, because he's mm-hmm. going away with that thing that looks like a bayonet, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's not a drop of blood there. Now, with a skate, when you hit there, and I've seen it just get nick once. It's coming out a little bit, not too bad, but I've seen quite a few videos. But they hit it, and it's like if you shake up a Coke can really hard and pulse it with a screwdriver, that freaking thing flies. That's what the blood does.
Yeah. It's under pressure. It's under a lot of pressure because, you know, you think about it, your heart is pumping up blood to your brain, and your brain has this intricate system of all these little capillaries and vessels and stuff like that. So you got to have some pressure behind that to deliver that blood to your brain. So, yeah, when you hit that main artery, you got some spurtage there. It's gonna just go everywhere. It's gonna be like spurting like anything under pressure, because your heart is a pump. Like if you try to pump water or anything through a hose or whatever like that, and then you take it and put your thumb on the end of it or whatever, it's gonna squirt. It's gonna fly everywhere. Just physics, you know. But yeah,
but
not on these videos. Yeah, not on the videos.
It can't be me. What were you going to say, Chris? Go ahead.
Oh, there's that other video, that Woolrich thing where they supposedly, allegedly cut the guy's head off in the street of Britain. You know, that one. And then there's like, you don't see any blood or anything. Yeah.
Well, but you showed on your one video, the one that you put on your blog, that the guy's hands, they painted in, they showed when it was, when the hands were red and when they weren't red.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Uh-huh. That was
pretty
blatantly
crazy.
Obvious. Yeah, that was just so blatant. But, yeah, they jazzed it up and stuff, I guess kind of as an afterthought. And then, you know, think about this too, Joey, man. It's like people are so out of it that it's like they could do this fakery stuff now. And we're on the age of YouTube where, you know, like there's you know, a lot of people that are out there that are aware of this stuff. And then we pass these videos around and we talk about it just like we're doing now and stuff like that. But there must be this conviction by the people that are perpetrating this stuff that there's got to be this conviction that there's no real threat or danger in that. That's why I'm not so sure that they're censoring YouTube videos. You know, like there's this like real concerted effort to keep videos off YouTube that are exposing this stuff. Cause I just see so many of them. There's so many different ones that are on there. And some of them have like quite a few views. And I think too, it's like people can become aware, like say that Sandy Hook was a hoax, and then they're convinced of it, and then go about their daily life with their, you know, cultist belief in government and its authority, and it will still be intact, and it'll still be there, and they'll still have all their other beliefs intact. They don't do anything with that knowledge. So there's that aspect of it too. Like you could prove to somebody, yeah, Sandy Hook was a hoax beyond any reasonable doubt. I mean, just kind of just take them through the parents, you know, laughing and, oh, the different stuff, all the inconsistencies and stuff like that. And they say, I could see it now. And then, but then, you know, they'll walk away and then they won't go any further with that. They won't, that won't impact their thinking much beyond that one little kind of, because I think too, like a lot of people have that conditioning where they have this compartmentalization of the brain where you can have a profound insight into something but not carry it over into other areas.
And people never have the position that this cannot be. Well, the recent one was with, what was that? That girl was her name Elizabeth Smart, a 15-year-old girl who, was that Elizabeth or whatever? Remember, Elizabeth Strong. Was it Strong? Remember, Stay Strong and her parents in Houston? Well, this is crazy because I've been at a thing where there was a tragic event, and the family, when you come upon that, you're like cold at work, and you have to go down, you're like, turn fucking yellow, lose strength in your legs. And when you go to the scene, or you have to go to the hospital, and this girl, like, she had had this, you know, they slaughtered her whole family, and it was with the grandparents, and then I forget what the house all about, I don't follow too closely, all of it. But when she addressed the media, this is a 15-year-old girl, and again, without lacrimation, that means the formation of tears. None of these people you could tell are faking, because they have a cry and they're rubbing, but this is a 15-year-old girl. I mean, she was addressing an audience less than a week after slaughtering of her family, and she's going to go on, and they have a big fund they were collecting from her, so that's pretty freaking creepy. And then you look at the other crazies, like, this cannot happen, like in Boston. Jeffy, people never bring up, there is one point with Jeff Bauman, is that when you have a serious injury like that, an auto accident, because I've dealt friends and family have had horrific auto accidents, that you're in intensive care. If you make it, you go to the hospital, and they put you on, you're all like on all these braces and metal clips and doohickeys that are all up your body. Then you make it to a rehabilitation center. By then, it's well over half a year. But I've seen people who are from not that area, but area over. He had his legs allegedly blown off by what would be known as improvised explosive devices. Now, they're torn off at the femoral artery, right? And then, you know, of course, the fake bone deal they had with Jeff. But they would have needed extensive skin grafting, and he would have been on prophylactic, and probably not even prophylactic, antibiotic, like these strong ones they put you on intravenous. So obviously, you know, the story of less than 2 weeks later, he's at the baseball, right?
I know.
And he throws out a pitch. Now, he would still be on, going through his massive series of skin grafts on one leg, and then they would do the other. And then he's at, like, about a week after that, he's at a Boston Bruins game, allegedly, bumping up and down in a wheelchair like Lieutenant Dan from, you know, Forrest Gump. Pretty funny, huh?
Yeah.
And he's carrying, he's waving the big, hairy, I guess it was a Boston Bruins flag, and they're singing and chanting, just like Bush after 9/11, Boston Strong, you know, USA, and all this other happy horse shit. But that's fucking impossible, because if you had your legs that were actually ripped off, blown off, near the femoral artery on both legs, and you're out in public, you're not in intensive care, you're not in a rehabilitation center, because I've had some, not personal, but family and friend experience of this nature, people who went through not as horrific and had spent an incredible amount of time. So that just went into my theme of people don't reason, they get caught up. That's why they have the music scroll, like Lennon Honor said, to get people all worked up to bypass your critical thinking.
Yeah, there's no critical. You have to turn off your critical thinking to accept it. But you know, he comes on and he throws out he was at like a hockey game, right? And then he makes this big public appearance, and then like they had to reinforce that whole Boston Strong meme and all that stuff. And you know, they know that too. They know that, okay, people are got their critical thinking turned off. I mean, it's like, oh, the poor man had his legs blown off. He won't be able to have use of his legs because they're gone. They got blown off by a bomb. So it's like you're violating something, like if you question that. Like, oh, yeah, he sure made a fast recovery. You're not supposed to be critical of that. You're supposed to be happy for him that he made such a a miraculous, incredibly fast recovery, right? So, yeah, you want to be a good person. You don't want to question any of that would be bad. But, you know, they had to – they needed to always talk about this too, because, like, you wonder, like, why don't they at least try to make it look somewhat plausible? Like, he's like, they're 2 weeks? I mean, come on. No, it's like – no, they know that people's attention span are short. And it's like if it was like a – they tried to kind of play it off like it was like a real like my uncle was shot twice. He was a detective in Los Angeles. He was like pretty close to retirement, and he's like on the force for like 30 years, and then he gets like shot, and like so he had two bullet wounds. Like one of the bullets had traveled up his arm, one of them went down his side and out, and he was in the hospital for like, man, it was like a long time. It was like at least, I want to say it had to have been at least 6 weeks or longer. I remember he was in the hospital a long time. He was in the hospital, I know, a lot longer than Jeff Bauman. So, and like, his injuries weren't the equivalent of getting his legs completely blown off. And, but, you know, they have to, like, they have to take advantage, they have to do this stuff, these psychological operations that have to be all in a kind of a neat, tidy package that's within a specific time frame before you lose everybody's attention span and then they don't even give a crap anymore. You know, it couldn't be like 6 months later he's making an appearance at a game. Everybody go, oh yeah, who's this? Oh yeah, remember the Boston bombing thing? The Boston what? Oh, the bomb, the marathon, the bomb. Oh yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh, he's done. Oh, yeah, whatever. No, they had to do it within weeks.
That's the crazy part, because that would be malpractice for the doctors to have released him, because he would have opened himself up to a series of massive infections with his legs and clotting and everything else. And by the time the grafts set in, a few weeks, like you said, your uncle, great point. 6 weeks, this guy couldn't have been out in 6 months. And of course he was, well, he's been like that for a while, obviously, because they fit him for legs. And then it's kind of funny, because in the Sunday Supplement, my dad also reads the papers, which he reads to me once in a while, and he swears at them. He knows everything is fake. None of the paper, I mean, none of it is real. And it just gets more like professional wrestling. It just doesn't stop. But they show Jeff Bauman, he's saved the thing from the Sunday pullout when he's fitted for his legs and he's on the ski slopes. They had this other little girl, as I remember, I wish I could find that. They had this little orphan Annie character last year after the Boston Marathon. She's smiling, a cute kid, double for orphan Annie, 7-year-old girl, and they're showing her at the hospital, and they're pitching for all donations in the Sunday paper pullout. And God knows all this shit is written by all of these fucking God knows how many tens of thousands of think tanks that put this crap together. That this little girl, this little orphan Annie, survived the Boston Marathon bombing by these terrible Muslims again. So no critical thinking, and I'm just not seeing it still. But that's why they let you and us speak. They could give a shit what you say, Chris. Because they got the television, right?
Yeah.
And they got Judge Jeanine. Everybody needs to be afraid. You need to be, I watched that, very afraid. And then his aunt writes, my aunt writes my dad an email from New Hampshire, you know, from, well, I won't even say where it is, but from a ways away. And she's telling him she needs to be very afraid about the Muslims with the, into the Obama administration, and we're going to have this Sharia law. Well, all the,
right,
the Jew bashers are saying that the Jews, they own the entire media, allegedly, which is a red herring. But anyway, and they own the banking system, and we're going to have a Sharia law. Where would they get the impetus if the Jew, the 0.2% of the world's population, owns, you know, the Reuters and the AP and all their names, if it's cryptic or not, of every movie house, every single newspaper, every one of these writers just about in. He gets the New York Post and the Daily News. And they're always Jews or cryptic Jews, and they're proud of their Jews, and they're always pro-Israel. And not that I don't want anybody hurt in Israel. I'm just sure they're as dumb as fuck as we are here in the U.S. But with that being said, what's the most important thing in war, Chris? What is it? Information, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, how are we going to have Sharia law when they control that? They control the banking system, and I don't know how those silly ISIS fools are going to be running oil refineries, because you still have to trade in dollars on the barrel of oil. And who the hell's going to trade with these clowns anyway?
Oh, yeah. It's totally fantastical and ridiculous. Sharia law. Yeah, come on. You friggin' break. I don't know. I don't know where people's fucking head is at. I don't understand it. It's like, and then some people is like, okay, how do you get to be 50 years old and you are still voting? I mean, it's like, come on. Don't you know by now? I mean, when I lived through a couple of election cycles, I mean, from the time I was kind of even, you know, somewhat interested in what was going on as far as that stuff goes. And it was like, it just became like pretty obvious between Clinton and Bush. I mean, it was like that was when it kind of like, it just opened my eyes. And then I picked up the book, it was Clinton, Bush, and the CIA. The guy, Terry Reed, and I think there was enough stuff in there that was probably pretty accurate. I don't know. I mean, looking back, I'm really skeptical of that guy and then on that whole thing. But, just this, the idea that, you know, these behind the scenes, it's like pro wrestling. It's like, well, they're really business partners and buddies. And then, like, of course, what really drove it home later was like, oh, yeah, from after Bush Jr. left office, it's like all of a sudden, like, Bush Sr. and Clinton pops up, and they're like the best of buddies, and they're hanging out, and they're always seen together and all this stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, because that they were drug-running business partners all through the past couple of decades. They're pretty tight, you know. It's like but yeah, just that I don't know. It how do you get to be to live through, you know, a couple of election cycles and not see that the whole thing is a complete sham? I just don't get it. It's really I guess a testimony to how they really just they play on people's emotions. It has nothing to do with appealing to their thinking, because that doesn't really enter into it. I think it's just like a lot of people are just emotionally driven, and they know how to push people's buttons. That's why they keep falling for it over and over.
Yeah, they got us going. That book you were talking about, I read similar stuff to that. That was with the Arkansas savings and loan. That was the savings and loan crisis, which was 1% of the alleged previous crisis in 2008. And it was allegedly caused by the CIA with all of their shit, and then they invested with all that McDougal and that other horse crap. And then they had to, what they were running the drug money through all those savings and loan things, and then they had to collapse them, and then they covered on the insurance. But now you read that, and now you get to this point, is how much of that was put up to keep us like goldfish picking up stuff's top on the top of the bowl. You don't know what the fuck, and believe it, it's recycled by all my anything new age, what an old hobby horseshit, that, you know, the positive thinking and science of mind and all this belief crap they bring you on. And, you know, remember Oprah and Wayne Dyer and all these people that they traded. I think they traded us, those fuckers in the 80s and 90s. Keep up. Don't go there. You have to be positive. You're being negative. And now I'm pissed throwing that out. I'm throwing out. I'm looking at, okay, this Tarpley and Jim Morris. Let's just throw this out. Shit, that shit. How many are those clowns? What do you think about this? I don't even know. Are those clowns do they believe what they say, or do you think that they were employed by the apparatus themselves, or were they just taking advantage of the gripping, the tarper? I can't even think of that old guy's name that used to be on some intelligent writing in that blog. Oh, gosh, my memory fails. What do you think?
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up, man. I'm having a hard time hearing you now.
Okay.
I kind of was making out what you're saying, but...
Let me move a little. Is it any better now?
Yeah, I heard what you just said now. Yeah, try that and see if it helps. But, yeah, you're kind of breaking up. But I guess your question is, like, how does this stuff, I mean, you know, I think to a degree what it's about is that, you know, anytime you have these so-called politicians, they're naturally up into all kinds of, you know, so-called organized crime. Because, you know, that's what the government is. The government itself is organized crime. And it's, like, really, really hard for people to see that. So, you know, it's like knowing what I know now about it and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, I mean, originally you find out about it, it's kind of like it's kind of like this, you know, you're kind of onto something, and then like, but you know, after I've kind of like thought it through and kind of my views on this concept of government and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you're saying that they'll mortgage your house if you're not paying your taxes, and then, you know, they'll forcibly remove you. Goons with guns will forcibly remove you out of your house and put you on the street and steal your home and put it out because you didn't pay them money to, which what they officially tell you what it's for is to put into the public brainwashing camps to brainwash children. So, I mean, that's a criminal enterprise. I don't care what your justifications are for committing the crime like that. That's criminal. But anybody would do that would be considered a criminal. But, you know, the government could do it because they're government. So what I'm saying is that they're criminal. So the idea that they're in, you know, they import and run the drugs and all that stuff, that shouldn't be any surprise. I mean, that Clinton and Bush are drug running buddies and stuff like that shouldn't be any surprise. That should just naturally come with the territory. So, you know, with limited hangout, like allowing stuff to come out, like about this, you know, all the savings and loan scandal, all the drug running, the MENA Arkansas connection with the Ayn Rand Contra scandal. They were manufacturing the guns in Arkansas and bringing them to the Contra rebels. And well, naturally, now that I think about it, I say, oh, well, naturally they're doing that kind of stuff because that's what governments do, and that's what people in governments do. That they're, you know, when you really kind of start pulling and looking under rocks and looking under stuff, then you notice that there's this continuum between the mafia, the organized crime, the drug runners, the drug dealers, and you know, Clinton, Bush, the CIA. They're all just one. They're all cut out of the same exact piece of cloth. They're the same people, and they go interchanging between the corporations, the so-called government, and the so-called gangs and the mafia. They're all working together. They're all in it together. So yeah, that makes total sense. And so, you know, when it comes down to, you know, why do they let some of this stuff out into the public arena for public debate? I think it's too is because they know how people's brains work. They're going to like latch on to whatever part of it is serves their preconceived ideas about whatever it is. But you know, like the Clintons working with the Bushes, I don't know how you can walk away with anything but other than the fact that, you know, politics is completely illegitimate. But, you know, some people would focus in on the Bushes being bad and look at all their corrupt deals and say, oh, that's bad. And then, you know, we need to get a good, solid, honest Democrat that's for the people to counter that. And that, you know, that's what they do. And then they get into looking to this so-called political system to change things. and they don't come away with the conclusion that it's all completely put on and for show. It's for some reason it's just really, really hard for people to accept that. Or maybe that it was like kind of like, you know, we were good and we're Democratic and we were a Republic for some time, but then you know, we got on the wrong path, or the evil Jewish cabal took the reins in 1930 or whatever. It's just, you hear a lot of that. Or it's like, oh yeah, I don't know. So something got in there and got messed up, and it messed up our country is basically the story behind it. But it's like, no, it's always been like this.
Kind of suspect it's always been like this, huh?
No, it has always. I mean, you can pick any president of the past, and if you like were able to like really look into what they were really up to, it would be indistinguishable from any mafioso, you know?
Yeah.
And then you could say, oh, should have voted Republican or should have voted Democrat.
Yeah.
And that would have made it right.
I'll take the – I voted for the blue tyranny last time. I now fancy the red tyranny. That's what I'll be wanting, right?
Yeah, you should have went with the red team, yeah, the red tyranny. And then you wouldn't have had all the – Iran-Contra and all that. Or blue tier. Or, well, yeah, vice versa.
We wouldn't have had 9/11 if they had a Democrat in there, right?
That's right, Joey. I mean, that's where we went wrong. We didn't vote Democrat that particular time.
And blue.
Voted for the wrong team. Who was running against Bush? Oh, Al Gore. And see, we wouldn't have all this global warming to... because Al Gore could have fixed that too. I've actually heard people say that. Like, yeah, Bush, you know, if we voted Al Gore, we wouldn't have had 9/11 and all that. Yeah, I've actually heard people say that. Was it Al Gore that was running against Bush in his first?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Definitely. That was with the hanging chads and all of that shit. But the funny
right,
thing was,
right.
The global warming, if you look over here, if you lived in my part, I'm like, 40 miles from the city as the crow flies, but it's just I haven't been a city in donkey's years. But you would look at your bill and it says on it, like last year over the average was a few degrees colder, and this year it was 5 degrees colder over. We didn't use too much of July and August air conditioning. Can you imagine living in this part of the world and not using air conditioning? So what they skillfully did, and I see other people fall for it, when they flip it skillfully to climate change, because it doesn't fit anywhere, and people accept it. Just like in 1984, we were always at war with East Asia, not Eurasia, you know, this was the fact.
Well, don't you know, Joey, man, that going to get, you know, with global warming, you have to naturally expect it to get 5 degrees colder. Of course.
It's got to get colder before it gets warmer, right?
Right. Exactly. Now you're getting it.
That's like the part I was talking about, that people, they don't, some people will see this, like your people who are habitual, red voters, they'll look at that as a side issue, but other people will just slip as this was always the way with us. So people are, I don't know. Do you see people waking up in Oklahoma there?
No. I see, but then, I mean, on the other hand, like I've told this before, like, you know, on a Greyhound bus, taking a trip, and then, you know, conversation gets striked up, and any time that I ever bring up any of this stuff, it's like nothing but like 100% agreement with everything I'm saying. Just about.
What if
with
you brought
whoever
up the
I'm talking
fakery?
What's that?
What if you brought up the fakery?
People are like, yeah, I could kind of see that. it's like totally open to it and totally like, yeah, yeah, that could, yeah, I you know, yeah, it, that could be, wow, or yeah, I didn't think about that, or yeah, it's like, I never had a response that goes like, oh, you're crazy or anything like that. Never. If I'm like on a Greyhound bus, like talking to just regular people, like, but I bet you if, but then on the other hand, like when I've flown on an airplane, which I did, it was year before last, I took a plane back from California to here, and the guy sitting next to me that I did strike up a conversation with, they were like resistant to that. They didn't, I just tell that they just weren't comfortable with the conversation going there. It was some kind of, I don't know if this guy, like, I think he owned his own business or he was in some sort of business of some sort and he was traveling on business. So yeah, it's totally dependent on like what so-called class of people, I guess, you're going to be talking to. Yeah, because I think, you know, the propaganda that you get in the news media, like Fox News and stuff like that, is I think that you're so-called lower class of kind of working slave and stuff like that, they're not going to really be paying that much attention to it, or they're certainly not going to turn that on when they get off of work. They're going to probably be turning on like a sitcom or something like that. So they're not really absorbing all that news media propaganda. It's like that's all kind of directed toward the so-called like middle classes and the so-called educated. Educating meaning that they got the extra dose of statist propaganda called university, you know. So those people seem like the hardest people to break through to, because they have an investment in the system, or so they think, you know. Oh, they got a pretty nice house and they got the new pretty nice car, pretty nice house, gonna be putting the kids to college, got a little savings going, 401k, things are pretty good. I certainly want to even come close to entertaining any thoughts like that, because if ever word got back to anybody that I know, it's, oh, I'm a great one of them crazies. Yeah, so, yeah. Mm. There's that, I guess. That's the impression I get.
You wouldn't fit in. See, once you start to think like you do, and you have probably thought like this just about most of your life, but with more information, you've gone further.
Mm-hmm.
You, other people who live a comfortable life and have social groups, you are now isolated because you no longer fit in. I think maybe that's the psychological thing and why the powers that be let us disseminate improper speech, nonviolent discourse, because we do not have effect, and those people don't want to be, they don't want to hear it. That's what I get, as I've mentioned on the calls before. My speech is censored, I had a better word for it, but I can't come up with it, at family gatherings. There's a gag order on my speech, so I don't go anymore like Marcus.
Really?
And
yeah.
I cannot, I get the, enough! They yell at me, everybody, enough! Enough! And another one of the people, my dad was in education many years ago. One of the people he retired with goes to his church. He still watches. These are people, you know, higher IQs, 120s. She watches, one of the people he worked with watches the Fox News and is afraid of everything they tell her to be afraid of. She's frightened shitless over it. So it's still going on. We're still fucked.
Yeah. I mean, and then you got people who are like, oh, yeah, 9/11 is totally an inside job, blah, blah. But they still believe in the government fiction. And
yep.
they still believe that there's some kind of, like, recourse that's going to be realized through going through the system somehow, which is, that to me is crazy. That is bat shit barking at the moon crazy bullshit right there. To me.
It's never changed.
Yeah, if you think you're going to get what do they say with the architects of 9/11 truth to reinvestigate 9/11? How fucking crazy are you, man, to go along with that?
Well,
you think there ever would be in a billion years any kind of, like, legitimate so-called investigation? Then that's the problem too. It's like the cult of government. They are still government cultists, for lack of a better word. I don't know. I gotta think of something that's better than that. But yeah, they just still believe in this concept of government. I mean, government is nothing more than mind fuckery. Govern the mind, government mind, mental mind. Control the mind control.
Yep.
What it is. It really, that is all it is, because it's just a concept. It's like, oh, yeah, you could go to, if you don't believe the government exists, let me take you to the Comanche County Courthouse downtown, Mr. Kendall, and we'll explain to you how this thing called law works and how the government is definitely real. Okay, well, sir, what is this? Well, that's one of our fine buildings. What is this building? Who built this building? Well, we had people build. Why did they build it? Because they believe in this fictional thing called government. That's why they built it. It's nothing more than a building. That's all it is. And it's
like a
church. It's like a church, yeah. So is a church building proof that Jehovah God exists? Why? Okay, so let's get into a debate with an atheist. Well, Mr. Atheist, sir, I beg to differ with you. I'll take you to my church and I'll show you my church building. And that should be proof enough that, my God exists and he's right. Would anybody accept that? No. But, like, people accept that when it comes to government. Like, oh, yeah, what about all these buildings? What about all this stuff? Proof, right? I mean, I guess that's where people are coming from. When you get into these discussions with them about it, it's like, okay, what is it other than a belief? It's nothing but a belief. And I believe in, I mean, myself, I believe in God. I wholeheartedly believe in God, but I think there's evidence for God, but a church building is not evidence for God. There's other stuff that's evidence for God. But, like, when it comes to government, there's nothing other than words when you really break it down.
Well, look where you live. You live in Oklahoma, and before it was legally called Oklahoma, what the hell was it? So when a judge asks you, where are you? You have to say, you're in law in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a word that you give this thing that you carved out on a map. You had a couple of folks in those black gowns like you're wearing, and they put their seal on it. Now it's Lawton, Oklahoma, but you're really not in Lawton, Oklahoma. So the borders were arbitrary anyway. And it's
you enter into this dialogue where all you're doing is tossing around these abstract concepts that have, like, no real basis in anything that's actual, tangible, touchable, smellable, feel. It's like all concepts. It's all conceptual. And the first word out of your mouth, if you're, like, giving any indication at all that you buy into any of that, you've already lost. You're entering into a fictional realm where they have every complete advantage over you. because you're buying into their fiction, their cultist belief system. You're lending credence to their religion. And then, like, of course, the angel Moroni told me this gold tablets are legit. What's wrong with you, heretic? You better believe Moroni gave me these gold tablets. They come down. John Smith found them, and the angel Moroni gave them to him. You doubt that? It's like, how do you contest that? How do you say that didn't happen? Well, I'm going to say, well, no, you can't say that. You're going to enter into heresy, and you're going to get in trouble, and you're going to get kicked out of Mormonism, or you're going to get punished in some way, shape, or form. But you know, it's when you're dealing with the government, it's identical. Well, you know, it's like, I don't believe the powdered wig men have any special magical power to write some shit down on a piece of parchment paper and have it stick for all eternity. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. So, Mr. Kendall, you don't believe in powdered wig man? No, sir, I don't. How about we put you in this cell and give you some time to think about it, and then maybe you believe in powdered wig man when you get done spinning. So it's just appeal to the stick, logical fallacy, bullshit is what you're going to get. That's all they have to offer you.
That would be like the, not the exact one, it's like a, it's called appeal to force, appeal to, it's basically an appeal. There's a better word for it. It could be appeal to force. That's the informal logical fallacies.
Yeah.
I think that would be it. But they use appeal that one that you're talking about to the court to uphold the other one through the monetary system. Now you can't have a debit card, you can't have a bank account, and you can't cash a paycheck for it all in line. That's how they keep all these crisis actors and fake 9/11 witnesses and all these other motherfuckers. They keep them in check because you can't have nothing. You can't post your social security, your pension shot, you have nothing. You have a deed on the house, or you defaulted even though you did want default.
Yeah, it's just like if you're a member of the Church of Mormon and then you are born into it and you get older and you're like, okay, this whole thing with the angel, okay, the John Smith guy, I don't know if this is, sounds like a load up, sounds like a pant load to me. I don't know if I can keep believing it. It's like, okay, what are you going to do? Okay, I'm just going to go venture out completely on my own. I'm going to leave my wife and kids and parents and everybody else that I got all this invested into this particular crazy belief system, and I'm just going to completely go out on my own. Like, my wife is calling me a heretic. It's just a lot of pressure, and it's like, so you just kind of go along to get along, but it's just like any good cult member. I mean, that's what kind of keeps you in it, is your investment into it. And yeah, the same thing when you're trying to point out that the government is a belief system and a cult. It's like, oh yeah, so what are you going to completely opt out of the system, and then what?
You did. You got nothing. Did you listen to the many, I guess a few years back, the Gnostic Media one where the guys who were doing that with the Mormons, they were all on the mushrooms and the psilocybin with Smith and all of them? It was a strange tale.
On Gnostic Media?
Yeah, they had a podcast on that a while back. It was interesting.
What was it again?
It had to do with when they originated with the original Mormon dudes. They were down there with the natives and the Latter-day Saints. They were on fucking mushrooms and shit.
Oh, they were on mushrooms?
Yeah.
Well, psilocybin and stuff. There's so many parallels between Mormonism and Freemasonry. They're pretty obvious. And then like the Brigham Young guy, he was a 33rd degree Mason, and then he was instrumental in establishing Mormonism. And you look at all their rituals and stuff like that, and it's like it's directly taken from Freemasonry. So they're another kind of offshoot of Freemasonry. But if you ever go to Utah, like Salt Lake City, my brother used to live up around that area. And, to me, it was like, I mean, there's just so much shit that stands out. It's like this occultic symbology and stuff. It's like, you know, the movie Stepford Wives and all that. Or, I mean, like, it's this kind of concept of where you go into this kind of town and the whole town is like whacked out, like cult members and shit, crazy. That's what it's like. It's like very strange. It's kind of like, I mean, it's like if you've never seen a city suburb and how people live for the first time, it's kind of like that, because it's kind of like this kind of condensed, concentrated version of it. It's like every house was identical, and then like they have these, I think they're called block churches, like there's an identical church on every block and all the houses are the same floor plan, and it's just nutty, man. I mean, I don't know, it's very, and everybody in the whole fucking city is Mormon. Not everybody, but enough of them are to be like, okay, this is really quite bizarre. And my brother, he's always talking about how he was in the Air Force and he was stationed there, and he's like always talking about how much he hated it. He's like, yeah, this place is really, he's like, I don't like it. I said, after I visited him, I said, I got you now, man. I was like, this is just not right on so many levels. I mean, the people were nice, though. The people were, like, really nice people. But it was just that whole just systematic cultic following. It's just what you have everywhere in America, right? But it's just it's concentrated there. It's like amped up. It's like the volume is turned up a few extra notches, where you're kind of like really getting to see what your system is, what my system is, but it's just kind of more concentrated and more, even more cultic, to where it's, you know, kind of more painfully obvious.
But can't you draw a parallel between that community and how they act into the large, because they're really mostly, it might be a stereotype, but more intelligent than average people, the Mormon. And then how they believe, buy into all that, excuse me, very strange religious, whatever, the concepts. And then you look into your neighbors who believe everything that the newscaster says and follow everything that their local and other state and federal lawmakers tell them to do, when you draw a parallel between that.
Definitely. I don't think that the so-called Mormon community could exist in a vacuum on its own. I mean, that could only exist like in America, I'm convinced, because the people that enter in that cult are preconditioned to go into something like that by the, you know, familiarity with the, public school systems and the cultic crap that, you know, we all take for granted, and we don't think we're in a cult, but we're cult members too. But yeah, the Mormons couldn't be Mormons without their preconditioning. You know, now of course there's people that are born into it. I'm talking about people that go join up with it and stuff like that. they're already preconditioned to some degree to become a part of something like that, which is just totally abnormal. I mean, but you know, society as a whole, what we call so-called society, or even this thing called civilization, is totally unnatural and totally runs contrary to nature. And that's why I don't point out Mormonism or anything to like bash it. It's just a good illustration of what so-called society is.
Indeed. And the same people with believing in that, and our people from my area, and I'm sure from yours, believe the stories that come across, whether it's the paper or their favorite TV station, that people from here, Norway, New Zealand, are leaving middle class, fairly comfortable life, not as comfortable as it used to be, and they were going to the mall and worried about if they were going to get a certain date or a job, enjoying the junk food, and now they're going to go over to the Middle East and join an Islamic jihad because the guy on CNN said it, and it was echoed in the newspaper. So our people are just as bad as their people, because look at the shit that we believe in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, it's just all these different, like, cult groups that are pitted against each other at the from the upper levels. And then you got people that will participate in these Sandy Hooks and these 9/11s, these so-called drills that go live. I mean, you can look this stuff up. They have these contingency plans for, like, oh yeah, if the drill goes live, what? Like, what would be the odds that the drill, so-called the drill, they're conducting a drill and then it goes live, like it becomes real, like somebody, like they're doing a drill out of school, and then like a real shooter busts up in there, like, and starts really. What would be the odds? But that tells you so much. Like, you can look that up on these sites, and they got this contingency plan. Like, oh yeah, what if the drill goes live? What do we do then? Well, that tells you what all this shit is for. It's just further blurring the reality. Yeah, blurring the lines.
If I remembered one thing, I think I would remember that one from the call. What would be the odds? Why would they tell that? Can you imagine you would practice for people getting injured at a marathon, and then all of a sudden, what you were practicing for, a bunch of folks got their, no other extremities, but all their legs were blown off at the marathon?
Yeah. Just legs.
And you accept that drill went live in the same fashion? Well, what are the odds? Multiple billions to one. That's a good point. Very good.
Mhm. Yeah, but then there's people that were at the Boston bombing, and there was probably like this core group that was, you know, hands-on, and they know it's moulage, it's fake. And then, you know, there could have been all kinds of people working in some kind of government capacity, either in law enforcement or in the hospitals or medical workers or all that stuff, that were 100% convinced that what they were witnessing and what they were seeing on television was real. Of course, they were there and they were briefed on all the stuff. And then, you know, it's like, you know, we're going to be conducting these operations here and all this stuff. And it's part of Homeland Security. And it's like, we're conducting drills and all that stuff. But, yeah, so after the fact, you know, they go back and think about it, and it's like, wow, that was quite a coincidence. But, but then, you know, they're running so many drills at so many different places that, you know, the coincidence thing could, you know, become plausible, I guess. So you got that too. So it's like, wow, could that be a coincidence? I guess it could be a coincidence if everything is a drill. Like every kind of main event, there's a drill or a Homeland Security presence there. And then they're running exercises, but you know, with the exact same scenarios though, you know, with the exact same thing playing out. And that's where the more skeptical people that are actually got some kind of cognitive thinking abilities left will say, no, that just is not going to happen, most likely. But if they got their eyes in their head and they're paying attention and they're looking at other so-called events like Aurora, oh, a drill going on. Oh, but no, it wasn't like the guy told me. I called him up on the phone. The guy was at the university. Did you ever hear that call?
I think I did.
Yeah, so he's like, but you know, he set me straight on that. It's like, no, it wasn't the exact same scenario. It was the scenario that we were doing on the drill was a rock concert that was at a movie theater. So no, I was, we're wrong on that. We're wrong to make anything out of that. Yeah, nothing to see here.
Happened
to be going on at the same exact time.
I actually met somebody at Costco who was doing the DirecTV one time, and he was listening to some of the other stuff I brought up. But he said they might have all had been fake, but the Aurora was real because he had family there, and they're all in the military, so they don't lie. And they got grazed by bullets, and I'm supposed to accept that. Can you believe that crap? I wish I could have, that's when you wish you could have recorded it and actually interviewed somebody, but that was what I got. I moved around.
Oh, I'm sure there's people that are boots on the ground, so to speak, that they're going to, give, some kind of three-dimensionality to the thing.
But they were acting in a civilian capacity at the midnight showing, and they saw it. He said he had family. Oh, God.
Yeah, just so coincidentally, happenstance, it'd bleed. Right, yeah. No, it's just, this whole thing, too. I mean, we live in a day and age, too, where it's, commonly accepted that, this concept of infotainment, like you tune into these programs and it's kind of like a discussion format dialogue thing, or it's like they kind of discussing the current issues or, things that are deemed to be important to discuss at whatever particular time, or never mind who decides what these particular issues are that need to be discussed on every media channel at the same time. Never mind that, but it's infotainment. And then you go look up, News Corp. You go to the News Corp website and it's like, oh yeah, what did we do? We're News Corp. Yeah, I'm glad you're on our site. What do we got? What do we got for you here? We got you movies. We got you entertainment for you. We got your news medias and all that good stuff here. We got it all for you, and it's all News Corp. It all falls under the same umbrella. Okay. So there's no blurring of the lines there, is there? Oh, of course not. All your packages are all kind of nice. Too uncomfortably close, if you ask me. All your movies and your news are kind of lumped together there.
And I'll bring that one home. My dad was reading the paper. I made him dinner. And the same company, News Corp, who has Fox New York, which is Channel 5, they were pitching the latest episode of Sleepy Hollow, and they were explaining how they did it. He put a green screen, mesh mask over the guy's head, and then in post-production, they took his head out. And then on the other pages, they have all these other next potential ISIS beheadings or ISIL beheadings coming up. So the same company that owns the New York Post, owns News Corp, who owns Fox, having a big pull-out series on their television show, Sleepy Hollow, which features the big-ass beheading, with a page or two away from the other beheadings that are supposedly happening with people in orange jumpsuits. So that's how they married all. They own it.
Yeah, it's so many times. That would be a good YouTube video to put together.
I mean, this is all at the same time, Chris. All this is going on.
No, I know.
Oh, it's not a new show. It just happens to be airing now. Sleeping Hollow beheading with the green screen mask. Crazy, huh? You can't make this shit up.
Yeah, send me that if you get it. If you run across that again or wherever.
Yeah, I actually got the physical paper, but I'll look it up. It's the New York Post. They did it. I believe it was the expose on that. I'll see if I can find it later on.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of examples of that. There's like the one, I think everybody knows about that one, where it's like, so they had this new series that was a spinoff of the X-Files, and then they had the first episode, which is incidentally called the pilot episode. And so that airs like 2 months before September 11th, 2001. And then the whole plot is a hijacked jet was going to get flown into the World Trade Center. And then that the heroes and the long gunmen. And then so that's just, you know, everybody's just supposed to take that as being just pure wild coincidence. I guess so. But, you know, and then there was like the Gabby Giffords. She gets shot in the head. There's a TV series. I think it was Grey's Anatomy, I guess. That's a TV series. And then they have the same scenario of a shooting and a woman getting shot in the head, and they had their part of her head inside of a ice chest, keeping it cool, going to retransplant the skull, just like happened to old Gabby. Same exact shit. Just so happens to air like, oh, the week before the shooting. And then there's like, there's more examples, but that is just, you know, they for some reason, that's, they need to do that. I think there was something with the Boston bombing too. Well, no, there was that Family Guy that, just, you know, there's just in that one series alone, there's like one after the other where like, oh, Family Guy, oh, they, Family Guy predicted it again. Wow. So like, yeah. So they come out with the Family Guy, the cartoon, and then the guy's like, you know, at a, you know, being recruited by terrorists, and so he's making calls on his phone. He's setting off two bombs. And then in that same series, there's a Boston Marathon reference where, you know, is showing like people bloodied on the ground in this cartoon, like a week before the Boston bomb. I mean, give me a break.
And on a lower aspect, a week before, or actually right at the same time, the Family Guy, for no apparent reason, non sequitur, comes out with, and now we have Joan Rivers Beyond the Grave. And
yeah,
that comes out just at the same time she allegedly died. So our news and entertainment are tied in. And I did like it on one of the other the broadcasts that Ab has on his site, that they have the newscasters and the movies watching the movies and then back and forth, and then the people in the movies watching these same newscasters. But the, you know, your basic you know, your Anderson Cooper, Brian Gumbel, all your noticeable types. So the heads just all tied in, and it's not coincident. And it was just like when I did to get another gander at Iron Man 3. They had Ben Kingsley. He's held up in Florida in a hotel. Actually, it's like a mansion. And he's playing the role of the modern-day Osama bin Laden. And they know it's shit. And then Iron Man gets to find out that we had to fake all of this crap because we had this big complex and this big deal going on. Now people go to the movies and they see the whole terrorist training camp behind making these proclamations worldwide of these acts of...
Hey, you're breaking up again, Joey. You're cutting in and out
a little.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that any better? Or?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
It is a cheap cell phone. I have one of those real low plans. It's about to kick out any second. But the people will watch that and then not make the connection and just go on with their lives. I'll let you finish up. We're about to hit the 4-hour mark. You're going to get cut. You went a little over.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't realize we were going up into the 4-hour ceiling here. So, yeah. Probably, like, shut her down.
Yeah, so if it comes out choppy, sometimes I haven't been getting around on Monday night to be able to sit in, but I usually don't call in because I have to call on this. I don't have the Skype or the other thing yet, so that's why it chops. I don't even know if it is with standing still or how that affects it, but that's just what it is. So that's about it. It was really good talking to you again, though. If you have a closing statement, you can make it.
Yeah. Good talk to you too, man. I guess I'll just say, you know, appreciate everybody that came on, Brian and Damon. And usually this is like 8:00 tentatively. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Usually try to do this at 8:00. Something like tonight I did it at 8:30. Sometimes it'll be it's generally around that time. So Monday nights. And so we're here on talkshoe.com. And then there's hoaxbusterscall.com. And there's sometimes some postings up there about some stuff we're talking about on the calls. It's not really so much a blog. I'm not a blogger per se. I don't write too much, but there's just kind of stuff that kind of goes along with what we're talking about sometimes. So there's that. And yeah, thanks, Joey, man, for sharing your thoughts on the call here. There's open calling in. If you're going to call in next time, anybody that's listening, and it's 724-444-7444. And then the ID is 90337#. And the chat is going strong. I see different people that popped in. Wade 57, of course, Damon, Joe Coco, AMMJ, Java Rings here. Some people that I announced before. Kaha Mod's here. Good to have her here. NC Visitor, Legality Reality, PL dot dot dot. Cuts some people's names off if their name goes over certain characters. All right. Take care, everybody. I'm signing out. It's October 6, 2014. Hoaxbusters Call. Good night. Take care.